She's like, where I know you from? You been in my house. You know me. She's like,
go ahead and pray for now, because we.
Okay.
Yeah, we are on borrowed time.
Way
yeah.
over.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray in. Please bow your heads with me.
Please stand.
If you can stand, please stand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for today, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, for our family, dear Lord. We thank you for our church family, dear Lord. We thank you that our doors are still open, dear Jesus. For those that are out, dear Lord, they can always come home to S4C. Always come home to S4C, dear Lord. We are waiting with, just like you are, with arms to receive. With arms to receive and love and remind you that you are loved. And that you have a home to come to. So Lord, Amen. We thank you, dear Lord, for an opportunity to serve you on this day, dear Jesus. Serve you for those that are in the house and those that are listening abroad and that are still listening, dear Lord, that they are family too, that they have a home to tune into, dear Lord. We bless you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the many platforms that you allow us to minister from. We pray for Pastor Sandy this morning, dear Lord, that you continue to speak to him and through him, dear Lord. We're praying, dear Lord, and we thank you for this word, dear Lord, that sits in his belly and is rising as the Holy Spirit within him rises, Lord. Let it be a powerful word on today, dear Lord, exactly what those are in the house and those that are abroad are needing to hear on this day. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Hallelujah. Where's Paris going? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Yeah.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
Elohim Tov. All the time, God is good. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just letting everybody get kind of settled in. There's some people leaving. Joy, you leaving me? No, okay. All right. Okay. Thank all of our family all the way around the world, Soldiers for Christ Global Community Church.
Oh, look at you.
And all the people there. If you called me and I haven't called you back, I've been busy, but I am going to call you back, because there are some people I want to talk to. If you left a message, especially a couple people concerning the Hebrew class and other Hebrew things, I'll get back to you as well pretty soon. Just was a busy week. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So you guys settled in? All right, here we go. The Lord wanted me to begin by letting you guys know that he has never, ever brought judgment without warning the righteous first. Okay? He has never done it. And if you're waiting for something big to happen so that you'll know that something's about to happen, Jesus will tell you he already put it in the Word of God what to look out for. So not only that, the Lord has a lot of watchmen today that are telling everybody in the world the rapture's coming. And if you haven't heard, I will reiterate it, that God never brings judgment without warning, okay? The judgment that is about to come upon the world, they don't know, but it's okay with God that they don't know. You know why? Because righteous people warn the wicked, but wicked never listen anyway. So you, it's not like you're wasting your breath. We're always hoping to get one, huh? Like, if, you know, if you could turn off your profanity rap music for a second, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And then, so we try, but the Lord just wants me to know, let you know, he's never done it without warning, okay? Today's title is The Blessed Hope is Now. And if you guys know what the Blessed Hope is, if you don't know what the Blessed Hope is, I'll tell you. The Blessed Hope has been the fact that I need to get these little people over here to stop talking. If you know and understand that there's been, explain to you guys and find the right word to let you know, the blessed hope is God has, from the beginning of this whole 6,000 year journey, 7,000 that God has planned, from the very beginning, he started talking about the great day of his son's wedding. It is the most important thing on God's calendar is that his son is getting married. If you've never had anyone get married that you were close to, you'll find out that your whole house shuts down because the wedding day becomes the most important thing in the world. And everybody's shopping and everybody's trying to pick flowers and everybody's trying to say what we're going to eat and everybody's trying to find a place where we're going to have it. It's like it consumes everything. And so with the Bible, you'll find that from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the whole Bible is consumed with the wedding day. And in the Old Testament, we did a message like the rapture being spoken of in the Old Testament. You don't need the New Testament to talk about the rapture. The Old Testament is talking about the rapture from Genesis, Exodus, the days of Moses, they're talking about the rapture. A lot of people don't even know Moses. Moses married a Gentile bride after the Jews really had him kicked out of Egypt, and he married a Gentile bride. And when it was time to go back and rescue Egypt, Moses took his bride to go back to Egypt to rescue the Jewish people. So, and that's just a rapture scenario. So anyway, God is always talking about his son's wedding. Every book, every chapter, the book of Esther is about the wedding. Yeah. The book, the stories of Samson are about the wedding. Everything in the Bible is about the wedding because it consumes the word of God, because the blessed hope, the day that the sky split, the church is gone and is together with Jesus, and he says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and he says, finally I have my bride, that day consumes the Bible.
Yes.
And so it has been Satan's deception that you don't worry about the wedding. If I hear one more Christian talking about their breakthrough and not talking about getting to know Jesus and being ready, I mean, I'm just going to grab them. Because, you know, so a guy said, you know, that one of our African, you know, we have many members in Africa, said, for you guys, a breakthrough is getting a new car. For us, it's getting a meal. So... So you guys are kind of distorted in your American thinking. So I don't want to hear any more You living in a house, got a refrigerator full of food, waiting for your breakthrough.
Right.
It's like, girl, you, if somebody, a brother from Africa said, you don't know you living in a breakthrough.
Right.
You ain't got to pray for a breakthrough if you got a house and food. So I said, you guys are distorted in America.
Wow.
So just kind of realize the concept that Satan has the world on is that everything is about your increase and your financially, where you're getting in the world and how many things you have. Whereas, you know, for God, he's like, I'm trying to get my people ready for this wedding, and I've been trying to do that since the beginning, okay? For us, it seems like a long time. For God, it seems like a few days. So I want us to begin our Bible study today in the book of Daniel. We're going to start in the book of Daniel, okay? Daniel chapter 1. Jesus told the apostles and everyone standing around about the fig tree. And he said, when you see the fig tree rebirth, when you see the fig tree come back into the earth, he says, which is the nation of Israel, when you see this, he says, know that this generation will not pass until everything that he had spoken about has passed. Because he's saying, when the fig tree generation is over, you will see me back on earth, and I will have set foot on earth. It will not be the rapture, it will be my second coming. When the fig tree generation is over, you will see me coming back to the earth. It's okay, Brooklyn, you can talk as much as you want.
Amen.
It's those other two. Let's read this, okay, here. Daniel chapter 9. It says here, I'm going to start, let's see it, verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from Scripture, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So where did Daniel get this information from about 70 years being the time of it lasting? He said, I got it from the book of Jeremiah. Daniel had read the prophet Jeremiah's writings, and Jeremiah said, by the way, Your time in Babylon is going to be 70 years, but he wrote it before Daniel and everyone went to Babylon. So now he's letting them know, look, he's saying, look, I understood from what? The scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, fasting in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed. Now, he's saying, look, he put on sackcloth and ashes, which means this is no regular prayer. This is God saying, this is Daniel saying, it's about 70 years. We're getting very close. And he knows, like, this thing is about to end. And so he knows it's about 70. So he says he goes to God in prayer, but in sackcloth and ashes, because he's begging God, like, deliver us. Please, oh Lord, listen to my prayer. Forgive our people. Hear me. I know what time it is. I know it's 70 years. Now, I'm saying that because of what I know concerning scripture, I'm begging God to wake people up. God, forgive their ignorance. Forgive their lack of desire for you. Forgive their love for the world. Forgive them, Father, because I know what time it is. And I'm asking God to quicken people in their thinking so that they can start saying something is wrong in the world. Now, we have a problem because God is finished with giving you signs. If 2020 didn't wake you up, then you just don't understand that the world can be taken over in one day. But now that God has given all of these signs and he's begging people, like, wake up. I've given you scripture. I've given you signs. I'm giving you prophets. I'm giving you watchmen to warn you and to tell you to wake up. Now, Paris been like, don't use his example, but the people on the street had put up a sign, we're gonna turn your lights off at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, right? And it was, I think, almost 9. So Paris walked in and said, I just don't feel like they're gonna do anything. I said, but they put the sign out there, they're gonna turn it off. It's just not gonna happen, right? You know, when you think it is. And so as soon as he said, I just don't think it's, and it went boop, and all the lights went out, right? So, you know, Paris smiling, because you see, I know you're gonna use that in your sermon. But it's exactly the way the rapture is, you understand? Don't think that, he says, when that day happens, people will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. There's nobody gonna be standing around going, I'm feeling the rapture. Hold up. Nobody's gonna be doing that. Hey, sister, you look great. How you doing? Are you talking to you? So, since there's not gonna be a warning, what do you have to make sure that you're warned? The Word of God, okay? You have the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, now, brother, about the time and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, or I don't think they're going to turn the electricity off. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you, he's talking to Christians, you, brother, are not in darkness. Anybody here living in darkness? If you are, you need Jesus. But you, my brother, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert, self-controlled, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith, love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer what? Wrath. You haven't been appointed to the judgment. You're children of light. So anyone tells you, oh, I think we're going to go through part of the tribulation, the Bible says you're not appointed to wrath. The 7 years of tribulation is wrath. If you've been left, do you think that's wrath? No. That's, huh? If you've been left, you're in the middle of wrath. You know why? Because God just told you how he felt about you. Because he says, Once the righteous disappear, he says there's no righteous people left in the earth. So everybody who God considered as righteous has gone. And everybody who God considered was not worthy is still here. To me, you were mad at me, God. You know what I mean? That's wrath. So I'm just trying to let you know and understand that God has not appointed you to those days. He's appointed you to a wedding feast. He has a day planned for you. So, but God is saying, while you're here, be as children of light, live your life in self-control. And that's a big word. Because self-control of what? Self-control of self. Self-control of, I don't have to curse you out, even though I'm very mad. That's self-control. Because I'm a Jesus person, so I'm not. But I am mad, okay? But here's my self-control. Just get out. All right? So God's saying, live your life in self-control. Self-control is, you ain't saved, you good looking, but you can't come over. That's self-control. Not self-control is, come on, bring a 90. That's not self-control. So God is saying, in this time before he comes, live your life as children of light, in self-control. Understand? Live as a Christian. Don't confess Christianity and not live in self-control. Because each and every person here is always going to get opportunities to sin. Satan is always after you. He's never given up on any of us. He has never given up on any of us, okay? Satan is still thinking, you know, if I do this, I probably could get her. So that means you're going to have to make sure that you live in self-control, because you understand what right and wrong is. You understand what's godly and what's ungodly. You understand? Self-control is a big thing, because I'm telling you, I wish you could give your testimony. When you're in the kingdom and you realize what's on the other side, people who know will know that what a big regret it is to miss out on that. When you understand what real life is and you get an opportunity to see what real life is, you'll always know this ain't it. Okay? She gave me her testimony the other night. I'm gonna have you give it though. But you had a near-death experience, right? And she said for a while she did. When she got there, she said, what? You didn't want to come back, right? I'm telling you, because I know how it is. Because when you see it, you're like, okay, I hope this is it. I hope life begins here, because this is awesome, right? But she has a son. She has other things God needs her to do. She has other people that God needs her to bless. But because of her testimony, she can now say, I know when you close your eyes, you really walk through a door to a much better side, okay? And so, if you come back, I'm gonna have you stand here and give your whole testimony. Because she gave it to me in the back room. That was a beautiful testimony. But I wish we all had the opportunity to do that, to just go through the door and see what's on the other side, and then come back and make a decision about where you want to be when reality hits. Because you're not living in a reality system right now. You're living in a system that once it's over, they turn it off. Guess what? Your body goes back to dust and the real you goes off somewhere to reality, right? Amen. So you have to know and understand this. So he's saying this, that we're not children of darkness, we're children of light. And we have to walk as children of light. We have not been appointed to darkness. Now, God has warned us, Jesus warned us, that when you see Israel come back into the land, that it is the last generation, okay? Now, if Jesus says that, and we saw Israel come back into existence, what do you think that every church should be talking about for the next 70 years?
This.
Right? And then he told Daniel 70 years, and it happened exactly 70 years. You're like, oh my goodness. And he's given other 70-year prophecies that happen exactly 70 years. He gives us the prophet, he has 70, but then he goes to Psalms and he says, It won't be 70 because of the nation of Israel, because of their arrogance and their pride. It'll be 80, okay? So now you're going 1948 to 2028, and you say, wait a minute, it's 2022, and tribulation lasts for 7 years. We're really close. So like Daniel, we should be putting on sackcloth and ashes and going, hey, Lord, forgive. Lord, forget what I did. You know, because we need to know and understand, because Daniel said, from scripture, I knew what time it was, okay? And so we have to know from scripture and from prophecies and from warnings what God is doing.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay. Did I need to go to the board? Yeah. Okay, now look at this on the board. The 5708, that's 1948 in Hebrew, 20. 1948, that's in the Gentile calendar, 22. 2022, did God know from the time that the fig tree was rebirthed that the 70 years was going to end in was going to begin in 2022? Are those accidental numbers? Because this is what I'm saying. If it's not, I want to be prepared. Okay? Of course, we've looked at all the clues, and we know that there's so many 22 clues that it's absolutely mind-boggling how God is like, this is 22, this is 22, this is 22. I'm going to show you every angle of what time and day you're living in so that you'll know and understand what's going on in the world, okay? And so, as born-again believers, at some time, we've got to look at the scriptures and say, Jesus said it would be at this time. That the Wailing Wall, which is the picture that we have where they go, Jesus said that temple that's behind that wall is going to get destroyed in 70 years. Okay, when 70 years came, it got destroyed. So that means Jesus is constantly telling us when these things are going to happen. And if you're in scripture like Daniel was, you'll know and you'll adjust your ways appropriately. Now listen, most of you guys think you're bad people. You know, Christians like, I still have a few problems. You don't know what problems. You have to go like to somewhere where secular people are hanging out before you realize how saved you are. You understand? I just went up to the store to get Lloyd some drinks for the kids. And I was like, God, how am I going to get all this out of my brain? All this with profanity and talking about sexual things. I'm like, who's listening to that on Sunday morning? I'm in the store and these girls are talking like they're effing and being it. I'm like, I'm just going to the store. Don't they know it's Sunday? So look, as you struggle in your Christianity and you're saying, Lord, forgive me, don't think that you're one of them. God knows that you're in a whole different place. You understand? Yeah. You're one of his children. You're trying to perfect yourself because you're measuring yourself with Christ now.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to be in the image of Christ. So you're a whole different person. You go and have a cigarette and you go, oh God, I shouldn't have had a cigarette. That was just so awful. And then God is like, psh. There's some real Babylonian people. they smoking a whole lot more than you. You just keep praying and staying in your Bible,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
So don't think like you're all jacked up because you still got a few problems. Because you don't, until you go and live in their world, and y'all, we haven't been in their world in a while, so we're like, we don't know how they live. But all you have to do, step out for a little while, go to the park, you know? You'll see that the world is not like you. I'm like, God, I just felt like I went to the store and back. I went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and then I came back to church. I was like, God, that was crazy. So understand and know what's going on. Here we are. Now, couple of the things that the Lord wants us to know is that the book of Deuteronomy, tells us when the fig tree generation begins. The book of Psalms tells us when the fig tree generation begins, okay? The book of Deuteronomy starts in Deuteronomy 30 verse 5, and it tells you about God bringing Israel back to their land. And that is the 5708 verse of the Torah. So that's 1948. Then in Psalms, in the 48th chapter, so the 19th book, the 48th chapter, it tells you that Israel is coming back into the land, okay? And then that chapter says, when you see this, know that this is the last generation. So two times God is telling us this is when the nation of Israel is going to come back, okay? So we know this is solid. This is the fig tree. Now all we got to do is count 80 years forward, and then we'll see if 80 years forward, rather, it tells us that this is the end. But first, we would say, we don't want to go the whole 80, because that's tribulation. Let's count 74 years forward, which because this year is Israel's 74th birthday. Okay? And since it's Israel's 74th birthday, that means that the time for the tribulation, because the 80th year, like, you turn 50 this year. If you turn 50 September 1st, how long will you be 50? Till next September 1st, right? So when 2028 comes, that'll be the 80th year, but it will last till 2029. You understand? So therefore you have that whole year, but now we're living only about 7 years away from the finality of the whole thing.
Amen.
And so if we're going to be smart, we're looking at scripture. We're not looking at for signs. Daniel didn't say I was looking for a sign. Daniel said, from the scripture, I knew that it was 70 years. And I knew that it was time. From what Jeremiah wrote in the scriptures, I knew. And what Jesus wrote in the scriptures, you should know. Okay? So 74 is a strange number for this to be the last year before the tribulation began, because 74 is a one of the Hebrew letters, which is lamed. Okay, let me see which one I want to go to Psalms chapter, well, wouldn't help you guys, but let's go to Psalms chapter 121. Okay, it'll help you if you know Hebrew. Or if you've been studying a little bit of Hebrew. Okay? Now what? The Lord told me, just tell him. Okay. All right, now watch this. Okay, you're in Psalms chapter 121. Last year, In 2021, they began their new year, Rosh Hashanah, in September. So 2021 lasts for a whole year to 2022. But this for them is 5782. For this whole year, we've been in the year 5782, okay? 5782 was very strange because God was trying to show us something. First thing God was trying to show us was from the book of the Torah, when that in the first five books of the Torah, you have a certain amount of numbers that in there that are telling you prophecy. The prophecies that's told to us in the five books is the first four books, the number of chapters equals 153. For most people, that don't mean anything, but if you've been studying, you know, oh, he's talking about the church, okay? In the first five books of the Bible, when you subtract only 5782, it gives you 71, which is the number for the Holy Spirit. So you got the church and the Holy Spirit. Then if you do a subtraction with all of the chapters or all of the verses in the first five books, and you subtract 5782, which is this year, you get Jesus 888. So God is like, all of these numbers are talking about something's going to happen in 5782 with the church, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Who takes the church to heaven? The Holy Spirit. Who's the church? 153, the church. Who's going to be there when we get there? 888, Jesus. So 5782 is telling you these three are going to come together in this year, okay? And so I look at that and I'm going, okay, I can either ignore this or I can say, okay, we need to be warned about this, because this. So now God says, wait a minute. If you didn't find this particular verse, none of those numbers would have worked out.
Amen.
So we found the verse that was missing. Guess what the verse said? After the pandemic. That was the whole verse. After the pandemic. So I'm like, well, should we ignore this? Okay, so now you're getting numbers, warnings, Jesus told you, here you go, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, God is like, look, since Genesis, everything I prophesied has come true, okay? You're sitting in a world that if you want digital currency, you know what the patent number is? 060606. So they already told you, when digital currency starts, when everybody needs a chip to buy stuff, it's going to be under 666. But the Bible told you in 90 AD, but the world told you in 2020, but now you're like, I wonder if that means anything. I'm like, when are we going to wake up? I'm like Daniel. I'm in a closet with sackcloth and ashes going, wake up, let us know. You know what I mean? Help us. Help us want to live for you. Help us to know that Jesus is the most important thing. Hey, guess what? Jesus is the most important thing. You know that?
Yep. Yeah.
Do you guys know that?
Amen.
You can go through life and get all kinds of goodies and stuff and die without Jesus and be like, it's hot here. So it's like that. So then you figure out all my success earth meant nothing. So my question is, do you know Jesus is the most important thing? God's whole idea for you being born into this world is to reconnect to him. Yep. So he can connect you to real life.
Yep.
So all your dreams and hopes can come true and in a reality and not in a fictitious life.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So in Psalm chapter 121 is the second psalm of what we call the Psalms of Ascent, okay? There are 15 Psalms of Ascent. I know you guys aren't Hebrew students, but listen, Psalm of 15 is the Hebrew letter Samech, which means that it's connected to Eve, if you spell it out, it's 120, which that is connected to the church. So Eve is representing the church because it's the Samech, it's the 120. So Eve comes upon the scene to be what? To be Adam's wife. But God already was prepared for this because Eve sinned. Soon as Eve sinned, what did God do? He pushed the button because he already had it in the GPS unit from Genesis 1:14. Salvation went into effect. Eve's numerical value is 19. But in verse 14 of the first verse, God put 48 constellations in the sky to tell you how you're going to get saved, how to be saved. It'll start with a virgin, what you guys call Virgo. It'll end in the line of Judah coming, which you guys call Leo. But the whole gospel is written in the sky. God put that in the sky in Genesis chapter 1:14. So 1948, because 19 is Eve and 48 is the number of constellations, means that God already knew 1948 was going to be the year of the beginning of the last thing. So all of this stuff, God is like, I raised Sandy up to tell you real biblical history of what I'm doing so you can stop waiting on your breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can start saying, how can I be a part of God's plan? Okay? And so this is what God has sent me to do. Like, tell the people I'm coming. Tell them about my prophecies of what I've done in the world. Tell them how I wrote my book. Get them out of church mentality so that they can understand that this is more about their future in eternity than it is about their temporary life.
Yes.
Here.
Amen. Amen.
Five NBA rings. What do they mean now? For one purpose, to reconnect back to me, because I have a plan for you to have eternal life. That's your whole purpose, okay? You can sit around here trying to, oh, I'm gonna be this and I'm gonna do that and then I'm gonna buy a new this. Okay, as long as you stay connected to me, we can handle all that. But as soon as you lose connection with me, now you're playing a video game that ain't gonna last, and then you ain't gonna last either because you're still doing that. You've got to seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all the other things will be added to you. And if you don't seek ye first, did I say second?
First.
That's Jesus' words.
Yeah.
Okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Please don't put Jesus second. Please don't put Jesus second. My number one goal in life is to get married. What about if Jesus don't, you know, if he, that ain't the guy? Well, I'm trying to get to my goal. You know what I mean? You crazy? My number one goal is to live a life for Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? Now God can work with you. But soon as your number one goal is to be a great success, you're losing the understanding of why you're here. You're here for one purpose. Eternity. Eternity, that's what you're here for, to connect back to God and to put him first. Do you think, let me tell you, if you're in a relationship, do you know if you're first or second? If you're in a relationship, do you know if you're first or second in that person's life? You know. How do you know? Because what's ever first in your life takes precedence over your time. It takes precedence over your affection. So what's ever first in your life is going to be what takes precedence in your life. It takes importance in your life. My decisions are based on this, not Jesus. That means Jesus is not first in your life. You understand? And what, if Jesus is not first, then everything else becomes what? What you're worshiping. And I don't worship idols. I worship God. You understand? I can't put anything before God. Do I have to spend all day in the Bible? No. You don't have to spend all day. Do I have to spend all day with Drea so she know that I'm first, that she's first in my life? No, I don't have to spend all day with her. She knows. Because if an issue comes up, now you're going to know who's first. Hey, babe, I need you at home. I'm with the fellas. She ain't first. Babe, I need you at home. I'm playing golf. She ain't first. I'm with the, all that. You know who's first by the decisions that you make. I'll move on from there. All right, now, the Lord said, look at this. This Samech, these 15 Psalms of Ascent is completely talking about the connection. Only one of the 15 Psalms of Ascent has a lament in it, okay? And that's Hebrew, and only one has a lament in it. That lament means that this is now a verb. Now, this is the year that the action is going to take place. What action? Ascending. What's ascending? Going up. How do you say going up in Hebrew? Lamada. What letter do you use? Lamed. Okay? So understand, God's saying, this is the year you're going up. This is the verb. This is the year that it happens, okay? So now understand and know all of the things that I'm trying to tell you because I'm trying to give you life. I'm trying to give you life, okay? And so if you listen, because God told me this morning, look, I never bring judgment without warning my people first, because I want my people to have life. So I warned Lot. Lot, let them know it's about to get jacked up. Get them out of there, right? Lot warned people. Yeah. He went to his son-in-law. Hey, man, it's jacked up here. They're like, man, get out of here. They laughed at him instead. Lot said, cool with me. I'm out of here, right? He left, right? So I'm saying, like, then with Noah, he's like 120 years. This is when it's going to happen. Noah's preaching for 120 years, right? He's on a boat. It's been raining for 2 weeks. And then 700,000 people come. Hey, let us on. Didn't I? Aren't you the same people said there was no God? Aren't you the same people that said that rain, would water could never come out of the sky? It did today. I know it sounded crazy. People are going to disappear. It did today. You know, so I'm trying to let you know, it doesn't what you think. It matters what the Bible says. Okay? Amen. So look to scripture. So this Lamed here has it says Le Ma'alot, which means that it's time to ascend. It uses a lament. A lament in Hebrew is 74. Okay, the numerical value, you write out lament, is 74. What year is it for Israel's birthday? This year, they're 74. Does that really mean anything? I don't know, but it don't seem right. You understand? So if they're 74, 3 times 74 is 222, which means what? The voice of God. So now what do you think the scripture, the first scripture for Psalms 121 says? It says, first of all, this is the time of going up, and it's the whole numerical value is not just 222, it's 2220, which means the ultimate voice of God. The lamed in the ancient Hebrew is a shepherd's staff. It's a shepherd's staff, which means that a shepherd has to speak in the 74th year. Did you guys get that? A shepherd has to speak in the 74th year. Somebody who's a shepherd has to say, come up here and lead the sheep out. Okay, let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'm going to try not to talk too much and just read this. Help me, Pastor Dan. It says, I tell you the truth. The man who enters the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Any thieves and robbers in heaven? No. Okay. So if you try to get in to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ, who is the door, okay, you're a thief and a robber, okay? So understand this. The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. Are we Jesus' sheep?
Yes.
Are there wolves among us? Yes. But Jesus considers us to be sheep,
yes.
Okay? The watchman opened the gate for him, and the sheep listened to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Hey. So understand this. Jesus is saying, I'm the shepherd. You're the sheep. You don't come out till you hear my voice. When I come, I'm going to have a lament, a shepherd's staff. Why? Because I'm the sheep. The shepherd's staff is 74. He's trying to let you know, look, you're going to hear my voice. And when you hear my voice, you're going to come out. It's 222, but in the year for this year, it's 2220. which if you times 10, the Hebrew word, now it becomes the ultimate. This means this is the end of it happening. This is the real deal. This is no practice play. This is the real deal. So in 2021 to 2022, which is 5782, God is saying, this is the real deal. We're not rehearsing anymore. This is the real deal. This is the year. And so, and he's expecting his children to be like Daniel and say, from the scriptures, because Jesus said it was the last generation, I'm going to listen. And I'm going to prepare.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on sackcloth and ashes, and I'm going to begin praying. Why? Because of scripture. God is telling the world what's going to happen. It keeps happening in front of us, and we keep getting these clowns coming on TV talking about your five ways to speed up your breakthrough. I was so mad when I was like, whew. Five ways to speed up your breakthrough? I can tell you that in a second. Stop sitting. Are you trying to sell me a DVD to give me five reasons to speed up my breakthrough? You're asking me to send you money for a DVD to learn five ways to speed up my breakthrough? Live in self-control. Done. See? Didn't cost you nothing.
Right.
Stop sinning, live in self-control. That'll speed up your breakthrough.
Speed it up, right?
Okay? So we have to know and understand. Let's get out of church. Let's get out of it.
Come on.
Let's get out of it.
Yes.
Let's get out of feelings. I gotta go somewhere with somebody lay hands on me and I fall down. You don't have to fall down. Jesus never slapped anybody and they fell down. He never did that. The apostles, when they healed somebody, they didn't nobody go up, healed. None of that ever happened. Who taught you that? Church taught you that. And you go home and you're like, I had such great experience in church. I felt I was on the ground. It's like, how'd you end up there? Something hit me and Kundalini.
Uh-huh.
They go to India to learn Kundalini and learn how to make people fall. If you look at a Kundalini service and a Baptist church service or apostolic church service, and you look at the same thing, all you have to do is exchange the music out with gospel music, and the people are doing the same thing. They're falling on the floor, swarming around.
Yep. It's true.
It's the same thing. All you got to do is change the music. It's the same thing. And then we see pastors going over there trying to learn it. And I got pictures of them. They're over there like, show us how to do this, because Benny Hinn learned it first, and Benny Hinn taught one of his guys. So now they know they can go there and learn how to bring the spirit upon people to make them fall around. And then, so then now you're in the church, because when you went there, guess what? Jesus said, you're always looking for a sign. You can't just read your Bible. Live with God and be happy. I need a sign. I need something to happen. I need, you know, if people falling out, we had service today.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody fell out. It was just kind of, he just preached. So just stop looking for signs. Stop looking for all this stuff. It's just you and Jesus. Adam never fell out. It was just him and God. Day to day. How you doing? I'm doing fine. How you doing? You know what I mean? You got enough? Yeah. It's just day to day. You don't have to be weird to be a Christian. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to be weird. And if you go somewhere and you're weird, get out.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is telling you, this is weird. So just get up and walk out. Because Jesus was not about putting on shows. The apostles were not about putting on shows. But what he is concerned about is, I have a son who has a wedding day. Okay?
Yes.
And where's that wedding day at? Heaven. Guess what? Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. Right? Why did he put the wedding day in Matthew chapter 22, verse 2?
God's people.
Huh? That's what it says. It says, here, I'm going to read it.
Amen.
And then I'm going to get out of here, Pastor Ben, because I know you gave me the marker. He's back. Okay. Chapter 22. Now, okay, watch this. Wait a minute. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, what does it say? God took a woman, and God took a bone from Adam, made a woman, and brought the woman to Adam. Then Adam says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right? So those are in Genesis chapter 2, 22, first book of the Old Testament. First book of the New Testament, chapter 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant out to those who, to invite them to the banquet, to tell them to come, but they refused. So the whole thing about 22, wheat harvest, 22. God's like, what do I have to do? Just get prepared, be ready, okay? Don't look for signs. Don't try to go find some place to get religious. Just live for me. I know you know I'm first by the way you live your life. I know you. I'm first. You don't have to get weird on me. You don't even got to wear a cross. If you don't want to, you won't even have to wear a cross. How is that? You don't have to carry your Bible everywhere you go. Drea trying to get me to stop wearing so many Jesus shirts, but I like wearing Jesus shirts. Because people ask you questions when you wear Jesus shirts. But I don't have to. You understand? This is not about religion. You can just be you and Jesus. Okay? You don't have to be all crazy. But when he comes, he says it's going to happen like this. It'll be a day that you don't expect, and a trumpet will blow, and the world will hear a trumpet, and you'll hear Jesus say, come up here. Then you'll be on a cloud, and you'll look around, and there'll be millions of angels standing around in joyful assembly. And Jesus will be there, and all of the people that went to S4C and people that you knew, and parents that, you know, baby, like, just stay in church, they'll be like, welcome.
Yeah.
You understand? So God has a great day for us that's not a part of this fictitious life. It's an eternal life. And now that you have that experience, you know it's eternal.
Amen.
You know it.
Amen.
She said, I went out for a little while. She said, it was nice. Same as my dream I had. I was in heaven. I was like, this is nice. So you guys got to know, man. You know, she's not the first person to have that experience. Thousands of people tell you, oh, I had a near death. Guess what? I was there, man. I didn't want to come back. Then you got like Daniel Hood, our friend. He's like, I died and I couldn't wait to get back. Because Daniel was on drugs when he died, right? And when Daniel died, he said, I went in a tunnel, and it was hot in the tunnel. There was demons on the side of the thing, and there was flames at the end of the tunnel, and I was being escalated through the tunnel. And he said, something grabbed me, and I thumped back in my body. And he said, and then when he came back, he said, God told him, turn to this scripture in the Bible. The scripture said, I took you out of a burning hell and brought you back into the land of the living. And he said, and Daniel was here. He used to preach with us, go to the prisons with us, you know? And so I'm like trying to tell you, listen, it's a beautiful thing what God has planned for us. You may have to go through some things in life, okay? If you want to live godly, you're going to have some persecution. If you want to live in this life, you're going to have some troubles, okay? But always remember the main focus is real life.
Yeah.
It's already been paid for. It's already been granted to me. I already got it. Don't ask me if I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay? Say, yeah, but you're not perfect. I got it. I know how to repent. I got it.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
He's like, I'm not Sodom and Gomorrah no more. Mm-hmm. I'm like a repentant Christian. I'm on a whole nother level. This is my bad. Little bit. I just have to tell this story and I'm going to stop, Pastor Ben. Two little kids I was playing, and the little girl called him a rabbit head. And the little boy started cursing like crazy.
Whoa.
And he was like, They're like, where'd you learn to talk like that? I was in Canada when this happened. I was like, where'd you learn how to talk like that? Because my parents talk like that, my mom talk like that, my daddy talk like that. I was like, how old are you? He said, 6. I went, she called you a rabbit head. So I'm just letting you know, look, her level and his level was two different things, okay? So you struggling with your little sin, you ain't on that level, all right? You pass that level when you accepted Christ. And God has a plan for you, okay? He knows who his people are, all right? Praise God.
Amen.
Okay.
All
right.
Amen.
Good word, Pastor Sandy. Good word.